Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is the John Favreau's My Daddy podcast with Jessica Garcia and Monica Montoya. G'day.
G'day, mate. Oh my God, we can't keep doing this.
We can because we're doing yet another Aussie today.
Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. Oi, oi, oi.
I hate us.
Yeah, me too.
How you doing, Monica?
I'm doing swell. I'm eating a nice little cup of tomato soup as my drink.
Oh, delicious.
And for those of you who don't enjoy tomato soup.
You're wrong.
I have no love for you in my heart.
Monica and I just watched, or no, we just ate Tender Greens. And yeah. We'll tell you what we watched later.
Yeah, yeah. Stick around to hear our spicy thoughts on what we watched. hint, hint, it features Michelle Williams in a breakout role.
Oh, yeah, breakout. Absolutely breakout.
Who are we doing today, Jessica?
Oh, today we're doing another lovely Australian, another kangaroo daddy. Why haven't we started calling them that from the beginning?
Are we doing Kangaroo Jack,
yep,
the film?
That's who it is.
I have such strong memories of the Kangaroo Jack film.
You know, I've never actually seen it.
You've never seen it?
No, I've just seen images of it.
I don't know why, but like I'm seeing like red licorice. I'm seeing red lollipops. I'm seeing a red hoodie.
Here, I have to Google him. Okay, yeah, no, it's not Kangaroo Jack. I'm sorry to disappoint you.
Man, that is really disappointing.
The second most famous Australian.
the number one worldwide most famous Australian movie, Kangaroo Jack.
I wonder what the highest grossing movie taking place on Australia
Kangaroo
is.
Jack.
Okay, good. We've decided. Anyway, it is not Kangaroo Jack. And it's also not Nicole Kidman again, because apparently we're on an Australian kick lately. But it is none other than Baz Luhrmann.
Baz, Baz, Baz.
Oi, oi, oi. I'm going to tell you about Baz. So, Mark Anthony Luhrmann. Gotcha.
Mark Anthony, husband of
J-Lo?
Ex-husband of J-Lo?
Wow, they are one and the same.
J-Lo and Mark.
J-Lo.
J-Lo, it's a base.
That's some School of Rock humor for you.
Escuela de Rock and Roll.
See. Anyway, Mark Anthony Luhrmann is an Australian director, writer, and producer with projects spanning film, television, opera, theater, music, and recording industries. He received the nickname Baz at school and combined it with his birth name, legally changing his name to Bazmark while still in school.
Bazmark Aardvark.
Now, the thing I'm confused about, though, is that he apparently had like an afro hairstyle, which is why people started calling him Baz after TV character named Basil Bush. But then I looked up what Basil Bush is and it's just a fucking fox who doesn't have an afro. So I'm a little confused as to where this came from.
I'm really confused.
Yeah. Yeah. And apparently he loved it so much. It's now legally his fucking name.
Oh my God.
What like fucking like 14-year-old goes, Bazmark, that's my name. Bazmark.
What was there a name that you had when you were a child that you wish that you had? Did you ever like hear a name and you're like, oh, I wish that was my name?
Yeah, I mean, like cooler girl names like Rachel and things like that.
I'm sorry, Rachel's a cool girl name?
It's like a popular girl name.
Oh yeah, or like Brooklyn.
But then again, so is Jessica. I just wasn't popular.
Oh my God. So maybe it wasn't you, Jessica. Maybe it was your self-esteem talking.
Maybe.
I just remember... Sorry, back to throwback to when we sang this together.
Oh,
in this podcast episode, but I watched The Little Mermaid 2.
Ah, Under the Sea.
Melody's Big Adventure.
You wanted to be named Melody?
I wanted to be named Melody.
I mean, that's not that far from Monica.
Melody. Melody, no! Don't become a Pokeball!
Oh my goodness. Okay, anyway, back to Bazmark.
Boz. That's Boz to you.
Daddy Bazmark. All right, Baz began acting in Australian films and television shows at the age of 18. And 2 years later, he took his earnings and started his own theater company called the Bond Theatre Company. After many theatrical successes, both with and outside of his theater company, he moved into film, making his directorial debut with Strictly Ballroom in 1992.
Amen.
In total, he has directed 5 films, but quickly became regarded as a contemporary auteur for his style and deep involvement in the writing, directing, design, and musical components of all his work. He is the most commercially successful Australian director,
Oi.
With 4 of his films in the top 10 highest worldwide grossing Australian films of all time. What a mouthful.
Damn.
Lerman is equally known for serving as a producer on all of his musical soundtracks, 2 of which are Grammy nominated, and he also holds writing credits on many of the individual tracks. Baz is also deeply involved in the fashion and art world. His number 5, the film for Chanel, not only holds a Guinness World Record for the highest budget for an advertising commercial ever produced, pioneered the now common genre of fashion film and branded content. Fashion films are fucking cool. I highly recommend you go Google some.
My favorite my favorite one that I've seen is the one for Prada. I think it was the last year's
The
collection.
Wes Anderson one?
The Wes Anderson one. Is
with Jason Schwartzman in it.
Beautiful. Yeah. It's stunning. Anyway, continue.
Essentially, Baz is a daddy of aesthetics, and honestly, I'm here for it. And he's also literal daddy to 2 kangaroo babies.
2 small kangaroo jacks.
I don't mean he owns kangaroos. I mean he has 2 Australian children.
Is it a kangaroo jack and a kangaroo Jill? Or 2 kangaroo
yes.
jacks? Oh, it is?
I think so.
A kangaroo jack and Jill?
I don't actually know.
Or nor. Oh God! You know what?
Are you guys tired of that bit yet?
I'm sure. No. They're tired of it. 100%.
Anyway,
movie number uno.
Yeah, the obvious number one.
The literal number one.
Yeah, the literal number. I mean, there's only 5 to choose from.
Exactly.
And we've got 3 here today.
The literal number one.
Uh huh.
Strictly Ballroom came out in 1992. Baby, written by Baz Luhrmann and Craig Pierce, directed by Daddy Baz Luhrmann. Scott Hastings, played by Paul Mercurio, is a champion caliber ballroom dancer. But much to the chagrin of the Australian ballroom dance community, Scott believes in dancing his own steps.
Ooh. Ah.
Fran, played by Tara Morris, is a beginning dancer and a bit of an ugly duckling who has the audacity to ask to be Scott's partner after his unorthodox style causes his regular partner to leave him for another champion dancer. Together, these 2 misfits try and win the Australian Pan-Pacific Championships, aka the APPC, and try to show the Ballroom Confederation, BC, that they were wrong when they say there are no new steps.
Wow.
Strictly Ballroom. It is a dramatic film.
I just love how bright and hazy this movie is.
It's very 80s. And it's in the way that it's kind of shot and all the colors and the haze.
Yeah.
That weird haze is on a lot of 80s music videos.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that weird haze that the whole thing is in.
But I love it.
And there's so much chiffon.
Because it's so sparkly. The opening of it where it's all in slow-mo and you see the girls' gowns moving. You're
yes.
just this is a fucking vibe.
And apparently this is genuinely the Australian ballroom scene. This is what it is. It's really funny because I myself was in the ballroom club.
Oh.
At college, at university.
Your 2-second university stint?
Yes. And I got pretty good at the foxtrot myself.
Ooh, get up and demonstrate.
I shall. One moment, please.
Oh, okay.
And we're back.
Monica didn't get up in foxtrot.
I didn't get up in foxtrot. That's what was called a diversion.
That's what we call a bit.
A bit? This movie sort of it gives us a baby Tiffany teaspoon taste of what Baz Luhrmann is capable of. I've seen this movie quite a few times throughout my life.
Really? This is my first time.
Oh, really?
I definitely think it gives you a taste of what he's capable of, but it gives you everything of what he's interested in.
Exactly.
Like, this man fucking glitter, theatrics,
music,
dancing, costumes. The fact that he married his costume designer is not surprising to me whatsoever.
Not surprising.
And they work as just like a unit. But
beautiful people.
Baz also just finds beauty in performance and like camp to an extent. And puts it in everything that he makes. And I fucking love it. But I love how like Australian this movie was.
Oh, it's so Australian.
Specifically. It's so good. And it opens as like kind of a mockumentary, which I love. I love when movies do that.
Me too.
It's just so funny. But yeah, I mean, I like that it's just a really good intro to who we know Baz to be now.
Yeah.
Even though like it's kind of like, I mean, it's not kind of, it is like very like gaudy.
It's really gaudy and it's too, in my opinion, it's too big for its britches.
Sure.
Like it's very, the way that it's shot is like very like, how do I put this? It's like, it shows the grandness and like the scope of everything mm-hmm. and it makes the people really small.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in that way, for me, it's like a little bit too big for its like little knickers.
See, I think that's where some of the comedy comes in because I think Baz is a funnier filmmaker than people give him credit for.
That's true. I mean, The Great Gatsby, hilarious.
Moulin Rouge, very funny. But like he coined his like comedic style a little later by doing like those like very quick cuts and like sped up shots, etc. Yeah. But I think with this, the comedy comes from its grandeur, but then also knowing that like this is a huge movie, but it's made with like all local Australian actors that fucking nobody in America at least knows.
No.
And we're led to believe that like this competition is like a huge fucking deal.
Big ass deal.
It's a big deal. But then when you actually get down to it, you realize that it's like kind of like a local championship.
It's really stupid. Yeah. So the main character, Scott, is like obsessed with ballroom dancing. Yes. It is literally his blood.
Yeah.
It is literally his blood, sweat, and tears. He thinks of nothing else and he doesn't give a shit about anything else. And I think that's like our sort of like bird's eye view into this world mm-hmm. is through him and his like insane obsession with it and his insane obsession with like honing his craft and like making it his own and being unique, like being a peacock yeah. and like amongst all of these other smaller, lesser peacocks.
Yeah. I think that that's kind of like weirdly mirrored by Baz Luhrmann making this movie, period.
Yeah. Literally in period. A weird way.
Because like it's about this guy who's like, I guess like a small fish in a big pond to an extent, but he's like, I'm going to prove myself, but I'm unique and I don't do things like everyone else does them. And that's kind of who Baz is as well, where he's basically just like, I'm going to give you this fucking movie that nobody asked for.
So I know his thing is like, nobody asked, but here's my debut.
I know nobody asked for like a really odd movie about ballroom dancing that's done in a style that no one's ever done before that quite frankly is kind of confusing and jarring to watch, but I'm going to do it anyway and sell it to you as a brilliant film. And it fucking worked.
Nobody asked, but this is an acquired taste and I'm going to shove it down your throat.
Yes. Like I do. The thing is I like Baz Luhrmann. Like,
me too.
For the most part, I do like him. I think sometimes it's like a bit much or like, I might not love the movie, but like I get it and I respect it a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think in a weird way, like Baz Luhrmann has kind of tricked us all into thinking he's a brilliant filmmaker.
Yeah.
Like he does some brilliant things. But some of it is so fucking insane. Ooh. And you're just like, you're being told like, this is art. And you're like, but is it art?
But then you're like, no. I guess it must be because he's telling me it's art.
And Australia loves him.
Ooh, it's art.
I imagine Baz saying that to himself every morning in the mirror.
Just take it, you. Ooh, it's art. I don't know, man. This movie is fucking crazy. It follows like the age-old plot. It doesn't really like, it's nothing special in its story.
No, I mean, it's really fun. I think this is one of the most fun of his movies because it's so silly.
I know, it's silly Billy.
It's really, really silly. It's really, really funny. And also because it was originally a stage production that he wrote and then he adapted it for the screen after being like commissioned by Australia to do so. Why does Australia keep commissioning films?
Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. Oi, oi, oi. Because they are so proud of their Aussies.
They're just like, we really need someone to go be famous in America. Yes. Please.
We need another Cate Blanchett.
And Baz will do it for us.
We need another Nicole Kidman.
I mean, neither of those people were those people at this point. It's 1992.
True. You're right. It's 1992. Who did they have?
We'd kind of met them.
Who did they have?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Or dear. Okay. I think bottom line, everyone should go watch Strictly Ballroom as an intro to Baz Luhrmann. Because like I said, even though he's only made 5 movies, this is like I said, it's everything that he likes and it's everything that his style, like it's everything he goes on to be known for. And once you get to his later movies and you see like what budget can do for Baz Luhrmann.
True.
It's amazing.
It's incredible. Yeah. So yeah, go watch Strictly Ballroom. I would definitely watch it with like a gin and tonic in your hand though. Yeah. I wouldn't go into it sober.
No, do it with friends. I think it's like a really silly like talk shit about the movie you're watching movie.
Yeah, yeah. Much like the other movie that Jessica and I were watching earlier today. More to come.
We just keep teasing this fucking movie. Okay, so that takes us to our second movie. This is probably the one that most people have seen.
Everyone.
Other than Moulin Rouge, because we're not talking about
it. We're not talking about it. And do you want to know why? Okay, do you want to know why, people?
They want to know
why. We're not fucking talking about Moulin goddamn Rouge because, one, it assaults you.
Yeah, that's one thing Baz loves to do.
It assaults your fucking senses and you feel drunk. So no, we're not doing that. And two, it just freaked me the fuck out.
I love Moulin Rouge. I think it's great. But we tried watching it for our Ewan McGregor episode.
Yeah, remember that
one?
And
we were just like, no.
It was just too hard.
And I don't want to, I didn't want to watch it again. So we're not doing it. No, sorry.
Sorry, guys.
I do love it though. So
I mean, it is what it is. It's just too much. It's too much salt on the food.
But so the other movie that you've probably all seen is Romeo and Juliet. Is it, do you think it's Romeo plus Juliet? Is that how it's intended to be said?
I'm pretty sure it's intended to be said Romeo plus Juliet, much like Edward Sheeran's
keep going.
Much like Edward Sheeran's albums.
Yes. Plus
multiply, divide, and I'm assuming subtract is the one that's coming up.
Who knows?
He and Baz Luhrmann should just,
I mean, one is British, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
One of them is from the English countryside.
Just clarifying that Ed Sheeran is British.
Yeah,
not
Ed
Australian.
Sheeran is not an Aussie man.
Yeah, I didn't think so. He's not. Anyway, so this movie is Romeo plus Juliet, which came out in 1996, written by Craig Pearce and Baz Luhrmann, based on the play by William Shakespeare, obviously, and directed by Baz Luhrmann.
Woo!
The classic story of Romeo and Juliet, set in a modern day city of Verona Beach. The Montagues and the Capulets are two feuding families whose children, played by Leonardo DiCaprio and Claire Danes, meet, fall in love, and die tragically as star-crossed lovers.
Wow!
As if you didn't know the story. If you haven't seen Romeo and Juliet or read it, I'm sorry that I spoiled it for you.
I would really recommend if you've never read Romeo and Juliet and you've never seen a stage production of Romeo and Juliet, may I recommend to you the film.
Oh yeah, great film.
Romeo and Juliet, because it is a great adaptation of the original text. Mm-hmm. It's got great costumes and it's got great performances and it's pretty easily digestible.
Yeah.
1968. Romeo and Juliet, great movie. Go watch that as your intro. Honestly, watch that before you watch this. Like, if you've literally never read Romeo and Juliet and don't know what the fuck it's about,
yeah,
watch that. And then watch this insanity.
Insanity. The thing is like, I used to like this movie a lot more than I do now. And that's not because I think it's bad by any stretch, because I don't. I do think that, like, there is something to say about the fact that Baz Luhrmann got tons of contemporary audiences to go watch a fucking movie about Shakespeare. Like, I think that's kind of big.
That is pretty big.
Like, I, when I was younger, when I was like 15, 16 and when loved this movie. Young,
I never needed anyone.
And making love was just for fun.
It was just for fun.
Anyway, so when I was younger, I watched this movie and I was like, oh, it's so fucking cool. It's a like punk and stylized.
It's different, it's man.
It's
different.
It's Shakespeare, but it's different.
It's like, if you don't get it, you don't get it. It's fine. I get it.
Which is all, like, that's all true. But, like, now that I am older and I watch it, I'm just like, I'm kind of bored, honestly. I'm just, like,
okay.
A little bored.
Okay,
because,
okay, okay.
Because for a lot of reasons, but I'm like, I think you can do good Shakespeare adaptations, and I don't think this one is bad. I just don't think that, like, anybody in it knows anything about Shakespeare.
Justice for John Leguizamo.
He's the, like, he's literally, okay, him, the fucking actor who plays the priest, and the woman who plays the nurse.
Yes.
Those are the only people in this who are like, you look at them and you're like, you have had theatrical training. You know what you're saying. Everyone else, I'm just like, you don't, you are not delivering these lines in a way that makes people understand what the fuck is going on, which is like important no matter when you do Shakespeare, but especially when you do an adaptation that's this fucked.
Oh, man. So, my whole thing with this movie.
Yeah.
It, I can really only sum it up in one word.
Tell me.
Frantic.
Frantic, that's a good word.
It is very frantic.
Yes.
It is all over the place. There are so many quick cuts.
Yeah.
It only really slows down when it's like milking the scenes with Leonardo DiCaprio and Claire Danes. Mm-hmm. And they are like very much in love. Especially, and I think about the scene at the party when they first meet.
Yeah, that's a beautiful scene.
It's a beautiful scene. The lighting in that fucking scene is beautiful. It's stunning. It's gorgeous.
The fish tank
is so blue.
Like, what a brilliant shot.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Because when you look at it, it makes it look like the two people are like just on the other side of the glass, when in reality there's a huge fucking fish tank in between you.
Yes.
It's brilliant.
It's brilliant. So it's just like one of those things where I watched this movie when I was like, I don't know, 7 for the first time.
Sure.
And I had seen multiple stage productions of Romeo and Juliet at that point. And I had also attempted to read it.
Right.
Attempted being...
Failed.
Being the key word.
Because you're here. A child.
I'm a child. And I just remember seeing it and being very, like, mesmerized mm-hmm. by all of the choices, right? That yeah. was kind of one of my first... real instances of like, okay, well, what does it mean for a movie to like look like this?
Yeah.
Someone must have made these choices. Someone must have made these decisions. So for that, I am grateful to Romeo plus Juliet.
Right.
I don't agree with some of those decisions now that I'm bigger than 7.
Now you know Monica's real age, bigger than 7.
Bigger than 7. But, you know, I think for a lot of people, it introduces, like, a specific style that they wouldn't have otherwise associated with a story like Romeo and Juliet, with that play, with yeah. Shakespeare in general. I don't necessarily think that Romeo and Juliet is a very captivating play.
I would agree with that.
I think it's kind of boring, and I think that it's a little bit, sorry, not a little bit, it's a lot overdone. I think that there are other much more interesting and captivating and compelling and moving and like enriching Shakespeare plays
yeah.
that they could have, that he could have done.
Yeah. Like, I would want to see Baz Luhrmann do another Shakespeare something.
Yeah. Like, personally, I'm waiting for Baz Luhrmann's take on Richard III. I think it would be really dramatic. Okay. I think there would be a lot going on.
All right.
And I think that has the drama that he's seeking, because I almost think he's trying to like over dramatize Romeo and Juliet,
which is hard,
which is really hard, but he's there. He's out there and yeah.
He did do it. And I mean, but a lot of that is due to the people he cast in it. It's, I mean, true. Granted, they are not speaking and delivering this dialogue in a way that helps you understand what the fuck is going on.
Yes.
Or like, they don't even know what they're saying, but like, they are good actors, and there are moments that are incredible. Like when Leo shoots Tybalt, and
yeah,
like the camera stays in close up on Leo's face for a really, really long time. And you just see like the life drain out of it. And yeah. so you're like, there are like some good touching dramatic moments in this movie. It's not all like a pomp fever dream. But yeah. I mean, most of it is.
Most of it is. The soundtrack doesn't help either.
No.
Like, okay. We're saying this negatively, but we really don't mean it negatively. No. We're just overcritical of this one movie because for the longest time, this one movie is the thing you think about when you think of Baz Luhrmann. Mm-hmm. And I almost think that's to a fault because I think he's done other stuff coming up that I think that he's able to give more of a flair on and more, yeah. And more of like a personal touch to. And movies that I think he can make a little bit more relatable than he can for this movie. I think that he tried a little bit too hard to make it. And I think this is more of a casting issue or otherwise, but I think he tried way too hard to make it, give it an edge that doesn't really exist there with a bunch of just white kids running around, save for John Leguizamo and the man who plays Mercutio.
Yes.
I just feel like, it's like seeking a bit of drama and an edge and flair that cannot exist with the pasty white cast that he had.
Especially because they shot it in Mexico.
Exactly. But does that make sense? Like Verona Beach is supposed to be like this like full of life, colorful, but really edgy place. Like it's not supposed to be like Santa Monica. No. You know what I mean?
It's like Venice After Dark.
It's like Venice After Dark. So does that make sense? And I almost just don't think that the softness of the characters almost works with the setting he is trying so hard to get his audience to stand behind or to be in, like the world building that he's trying to do. I just don't. And, you know, forget about race, right? They're just too soft.
Yeah, what I mean, the actors for sure, but the characters even. Yes. Like, Romeo and Juliet are innocent little babies.
They're literally children.
Yeah.
They are children, but
Juliet's
children.
Juliet's 14, what, right?
No, I think she's like, that bitch is like 12 or like 13.
I don't know. She's young. She's below 15 for sure.
They're both below 15. Yeah. I think he's 14 and she's 13.
It's fucked.
I don't fucking know. I don't know. If you're like a Shakespeare
scholar, I mean, I'm sure we could Google it.
Let us know. No, it's easier to ask the people out there.
It's easier to ask them weeks in advance, wait for this to come out, and then get a response.
Exactly.
Maybe.
So my whole thing is like, it's a really hardened world and a hardened setting with very soft and naive characters. And, you know, it could work. I think the juxtaposition of that could work. But unfortunately for me, it doesn't work here.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that there is a lot to respect about this movie. And that's, I think, where the beauty in it comes is like what there is to respect about it.
Yes.
And that's kind of just what to respect about Baz in general is that he's a huge risk taker.
Oh, huge.
He loves just anything like grandiose. And say what you want about his stories or even his style, but like the man builds a world and fully commits to it. And I think that there is a lot to say about that, that is positive. And obviously like it's gotten him acclaim. Like he's a very famous director. This movie like swept the Golden Globes that year.
Oh my God. Yeah. And it also like catapulted Leo into like he was already like in space, but it catapulted him even further.
Yeah.
Whenever Leo gets a chance to do a role that's really unconventional for him, it just makes him that much better.
Yeah.
And I think Baz knew what he was doing when he cast him and then Claire fucking Danes.
Yeah, correct.
And it's just one of those things where you are watching characters, you're watching actors become better because of a director that took a chance on them for that role. So for that, I also think that Romeo plus Juliet kind of did an incredible job. Like it truly served its actors and Baz as a director served his actors as well. And you have to admit that like the visual style and the overall like visual choices in Romeo and Juliet are absolutely stunning.
Yes.
They are beyond stunning. They're like fucking ethereal. They're so to this day. And then they're also like a pop culture phenomenon, right? Mm-hmm. To this day, people dress up as Romeo and Juliet from Romeo plus Juliet.
Yeah, at the costume party.
At the costume party. One of them dresses up in like a weird fucking knight costume.
Yeah.
And the other one dresses up as a little angel. And they're like, we're Romeo and Juliet from Romeo plus Juliet. And that's that.
Yeah. And I mean, and you see like different shots from this referenced in other movies as well. Like, yes. I think specifically of the scene where they're like under all the sheets.
Oh, yeah.
That
yeah,
gets yeah, yeah. reused a ton in other movies.
Yeah. It also kind of gets reused, I think, in The Great Gatsby at some point.
It does.
I remember
the
it. Yeah.
Scene with the curtains.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're all billowing and flowing. So, like, he has like a specific shots that he's contributed to society, to the film industry as a whole, yeah. that get reused and reused because he's such a like visual genius.
Yes, he really is.
And to that end, he understands how fabric works, how mm-hmm. fabric and lighting works, which, by the way, is really fucking hard. Yeah. So go Baz.
Go Baz. Thanks for loving fashion.
Thank you for loving fashion. And thank you for giving us Romeo plus Juliet in Verona Beach, which is basically supposed to be like Venice Beach, but it's fine.
Yeah.
Mexico.
I think the best parts of Romeo plus Juliet are like the first 10 minutes and the last 10 minutes.
I agree.
Honestly, the first 10 minutes are pretty fucking cool. Like with them at the cars, at the gas station, and like, it's all those quick cuts and the, do you bite your thumb at me, sir? No.
I bite my thumb at you, sir.
And it's all fucking, so fast.
And all the cars are like stunning and like these like, popping hot colors and you feel like your blood boil because you're like kind of in the action. Yeah. And it's like, it's honestly like more riveting than like a Fast and the Furious movie.
Yes, exactly. This, I mean, honestly, this is kind of like Fast and the Furious meets Shakespeare.
Yeah, it really is though. But like, where's Vin Diesel? I would have loved to have seen Vin Diesel as Romeo.
Would you have?
Yes.
I would not have. After seeing that insane interview he did where he was just like hitting on that woman the entire
time,
I picture that Vin Diesel as Romeo.
Is Vin Diesel his real name? That's what I want to know.
I hope so. Because if so, he had great parents. No, Mark Sinclair.
What?
Oh my God, his mom is an astrologer.
No.
Who knows?
Whatever. The last thing I will say about this movie is, I know I mentioned the soundtrack earlier.
Yes.
I still think it's a masterpiece, though.
I
think Baz Luhrmann does one thing really, really, really well, and that is music.
Mm-hmm.
Music and fabric. Music and fabric. And he was able to put together the soundtrack and it really fucking works. It is an iconic fucking soundtrack. I would call it as iconic as like a Saturday Night Fever soundtrack.
Yeah.
Or like the fucking Titanic soundtrack, even though it's literally just My Heart Will Go On.
Yeah. A couple of his movie soundtracks have become like that. Like Moulin Rouge for sure.
Yes, for sure. I mean,
Great Gatsby
musical
for
now.
Sure.
Yes. Great Gatsby for sure.
Even though people were pissed about that one, but
people were really mad.
I still think it was great.
People stay mad about the Great Gatsby soundtrack.
They're mad about that movie, period.
Yeah, listen, Jay-Z, Lana Del Rey, they're all in there. They're all having a good time on that movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Giving us the music that, listen, it became like the song of the summer at that point.
Yes.
Do you remember?
No, okay. Church in the Wild.
Fergie's. Okay, Fergie. And that fucking, like, her cover of that one song, what was that song called?
Oh, I don't remember.
It was like,
I'm thinking of the Lana, the Young and Beautiful.
That one too, but also the Fergie song.
What song did she sing? Oh, A Little Party Never.
Oh, A Little yeah. Party Never Hurt Nobody, which is like a cover of like
incredible
another
song.
Song of the same name. Come on, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all already know. Mm-hmm. Y'all stay mad about The Great Gatsby. But it's not for everyone, and it wasn't for you, and I get it. But I liked it.
I loved it. I thought that soundtrack, his whole take on it about like modern, like gaudiness,
mm-hmm.
mirroring 1920s gaudiness, I think it was brilliant.
I thought, yes. Listen, if that movie had come out like a year from now, post-pandemic, I think people would have gotten it.
Maybe.
I don't know.
People were fucking pissed. Whatever.
People were pissed. Listen, I wish Leo did not pine after the green light also.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
And our favorite Michelle Williams was also.
Oh my God. She was incredible. if you have not seen Fosse Verdon on FX, with Michelle Williams and Sam fucking Rockwell.
I know, I haven't watched seen
that
it.
Goddamn show. It is brilliant. It is brilliant.
I will watch.
Only
it,
two syllables, not even three.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
I will, I promise.
Anything else about Romeo plus Juliet?
No.
I'll give it 5 out of 6 quills.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. I'm telling you, we judge this movie very harshly.
Yeah.
But it as a standalone movie in the cultural landscape,
yeah,
it is iconic.
Oh, yeah.
It's iconic.
I've met several people who this is like their favorite movie.
Oh, ever. I know those people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And they just don't show they every day. They're like Romeo plus Juliet. Yeah. And if you're one of those people, I respect you.
We respect you. Monica, what's the third and final film?
I'll tell you.
For Bazzy Baz. This is Monica's favorite one.
Bring the lasso. Drova.
Oh my God.
Witcha. All right, guys. Everyone gather around the wee fire.
Oh boy.
Let's talk about this goddamn movie.
The movie why we're doing this episode at all.
My favorite of the Baz Luhrmann films. Yeah. Unapologetically too, because yes, I know this movie was not well reviewed. It was not well liked. You know what? I don't give a fuck. I don't care. And do you want to know why? Because this movie represents everything good in the world.
Oh, okay.
And that is Australia.
Wow. Tell us about it.
Australia came into our lives in 2008. Oh. At the moment we needed it most. Written by Stuart Beatty, Baz Luhrmann, Ronald Harwood, and Richard Flanagan. Directed by Baz Luhrmann.
Mm-hmm.
In Northern Australia, at the beginning of World War II, Lady Sarah Ashley, played by Nicole Kidman, an English aristocrat, inherits...
Aristocrat?
You idiot. The aristocrats.
Aristocrats.
Aristocrats. An English aristocrat, not feline, inherits a cattle station the size of Maryland after her husband is
murdered.
When English cattle barons plot to take her land, she reluctantly joins forces with a rough-hewn stockman named Drova, played by Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman.
To drive 2,000 head of cattle across hundreds of miles of the country's most unforgiving land while helping her protect an Aboriginal child named Nulla, only to still face the bombing of Darwin, Australia by the Japanese forces that attacked Pearl Harbor only months earlier. Wow, this film is full.
This movie is like...
Five movies.
This movie is like a Stefan sketch.
Yeah.
This film has everything.
Okay, this film is for everyone. This film has something. I'm just kidding. It's not for everyone. Okay, right off the bat, this movie is racist as shit.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, is it racist in the way that it's like just portraying the racism that's happening?
Honestly,
or?
I don't even know anymore.
Okay.
I don't even know anymore. Years later, it's still like cringy to watch sometimes to hear them speak to each other and like
sure.
to sort of like see the treatment of the Aboriginal people and
right.
whatnot. And I have no idea if this is a good representation or a bad representation of any of it.
I mean, I know that people in Australia love this movie.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
And it was like huge in Europe when yes. it came out.
So, you know, right off the bat, I'm sure it does folks dirty. Mm-hmm. I'm 100% certain of that. So I just want to, right off the bat, apologize for my love of this movie. I know. This movie features a stunning Nicole Kidman.
Stunning. However, I must say, who the fuck makes a 3-hour movie called Australia about Australia starring an Australian who, and they don't let her be Australian?
Because she's English.
So then cast someone different.
No, because she had to be Australian to understand the love of Australia.
Whatever.
Okay. First and foremost, I want to say I never want to go to Australia.
Too many spiders.
Too many spiders. Too many jellyfish. Too many spiders.
My Mostly spiders.
Mostly the spiders. I don't want to find one in my shoe. Don't want to die. Thank you. You know, did you know that that's like Australians do that?
Yes.
If they like leave their shoes out, they always, it's like a second nature to them, like shake out the shoe before they put it on because mm-hmm. something could be living in there.
Yeah, I know. That's it's like fucking terrifying. The thing is though, is that like, even if I did that every morning here in America, if I found something that fell out of my shoe, I'd still be fucking terrified. Like it's scarring either way.
Yeah, it's scarring either way, but like it happens in Australia so often yeah. that like they have to. They banned an episode of Peppa Pig.
I know, because of the spiders.
Because of the spiders. Because
it was like an episode where they were encouraging they were you like, not to kill them or to like be their friends.
Well, okay, so let me give you the lowdown.
Please.
So Peppa Pig, which is a popular British pig show.
Peppa.
Peppa Pig is a popular British pig show featuring a pig named Peppa. Peppa Pig.
Say more P words.
Shut up. Named Peppa Pig. And she is like just some fucking bratty British pig child.
She's not a brat.
She's brat. And it's just, nothing really happens like in her TV show.
It's a children's show.
It's like it's
supposed to happen.
It's like for
Peppa Pig's daily life.
It's like for really young children.
Yes,
it's correct. It's not like a Paw Patrol situation where like that shit is riveting. It is like for children, like small children.
Correct.
Okay. So Peppa Pig is a British pig. She's a posh pig, and she like is trying to make friends with the spider, and like or like she seems to like not like the spider, and then eventually like, makes friends because like there's nothing wrong with spiders. Spiders are your friends. Spiders are nice. And Australia literally was like, no, this cannot air through our airwaves. We must end it now.
The children cannot think that they can befriend the spiders because they will die.
And the Australian government released an official statement as to why they were banning this episode of Peppa Pig. And they literally were like, spiders are not your friends. Spiders are dangerous and venomous and poisonous and cruel, and they will hurt you. And we cannot be teaching our Aussie children that spiders are friends.
I just love how influential Peppa Pig is, honestly.
Peppa!
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 Peppa's a daddy.
Peppa Pig. Peppa Pig. Peppa Pig. Anyway, so that bitch is banned in Australia.
Banned. Spiders are bad.
Spiders bad. Back to Australia.
Right.
Like the movie Australia.
Right. Which takes place in Australia. I know it's very confusing.
Australia! I think it is a fucking epic. It's a romp. Y'all know how I feel about movies over 90 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
They're stupid.
I was still mad that this one was over 90 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a 3-hour long movie.
Yep.
And I love the love story, man.
I think that there are a lot of beautiful parts of this movie. It is an epic. It is visually beautiful.
It is crazy. All the scenes with the cattle blow you away.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is all digital, but
still. Oh, of course. Yeah. But some of those cows are real.
Like, it is a very magical movie, and I love how it, like, brings in, like, the mysticism of, like, Aboriginal culture. I think there's a lot that it does really, really well. I just particularly don't really care about the story very much.
Oh, my God.
Because it's so fucking long.
Drova!
And, like, I find it very hot. Like, it felt like there was just so much happening very quickly, despite it happening within a 3-hour time frame, that I was like, I don't know. First of all, I'm confused about what's happening. So then I had to clarify. And then I was like, cool, I have been clarified. But then I was like, everything's moving so quickly. I don't have time to, like, care about these people except for Nulla. Like, I cared about him the entire time because he's like a poor child. But besides that, I'm just like, you people don't know each other. How are you falling in love? What is going on?
Amen.
And then all of a sudden the war happened in a third act that's basically a second movie.
Well, Jessica, all of a sudden the war happened for them too.
Okay, well,
all of a sudden Darlene was bombed.
There's just it's not my favorite Baz Luhrmann movie.
Okay. Reasons why it's my favorite Baz Luhrmann
Please.
Movie. The cattle. Oh my God. Are you fucking?
We love a movie.
Are you fucking?
Ah!
A movie. Okay. Uh-huh. I love that the hot commodity in Australia is meat.
Every kind of meat.
I love that it's basically a Western for the whole first half of the movie.
Yeah.
I fucking love that. I hate Westerns, but for some reason, Westerns in Australia, sign me the fuck up. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
I think it's because there's kangaroos.
Because there's some roos. There's this scene.
A kangaroo.
Towards the beginning of the movie where Nicole Kidman is sitting in the goddamn truck with Drova, played by Hugh Jackman.
I've never seen a kangaroo.
Oh, kangaroo. Oh, look at them. Look at them jumping.
And if you think that that's an exaggerated impression of Nicole in this movie, it is not. It's she not. Sounds exactly like that.
Oh, a kangaroo. I've never seen a kangaroo. Oh, look at them jump. Look at them jumping. Oh, and then he gets fucking shot.
Yeah, because it's Australia. Yep. Yeah. And then she turns to camera and screams right in close up.
Then there's this brilliant shot that Baz Luhrmann has in this movie where she again immediately turns to the camera. The camera does like a really quick like zoom in on her face. She's like, oh, it's incredible.
And then she screams. Yeah, it's great. Screams.
But it's funny because like her eyes are like kind of bugging out of her skull.
Oh my, there are very good moments in this movie for me. And I also love a filmmaker who lets Nicole Kidman be funny.
Oh my God. Yes. Thank you. Finally, someone let Nicole Kidman be funny.
Yeah, because she's quite funny.
Oh, she's fucking hilarious in this goddamn movie.
Like the scene where when Nella asks her to sing Over the Rainbow.
Oh my God. Over the rainbow, butterflies, blue.
And he's just like, weird song, keep singing.
Yes. Oh, you have weird voice, good song. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, oh my God.
It's so silly, but it's so good.
Oh, it's so good. It's a very like white savior-y movie, which you don't really appreciate.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, it's truly just a period piece, and that's kind of like the only way to save an Aboriginal child.
Yeah, because the government was taking them away and was basically like, we need to breed the Aboriginal out of you.
Which is so sad.
So super fucking sad.
And they like sent them to missions in like, on like islands off of the coast of Australia.
Yeah.
And which is also Australia.
Yes, correct.
And they would take them to these like mission islands where they would like shave their heads and like teach them English and like teach them religion or whatever that they taught them. Yeah. And it was a sad time. And there was a whole generation called the Stolen Generation, I believe, that came out of these children who were essentially taken from their families because they were Aboriginal children, or usually like half Aboriginal children were taken. So sad. And something that I think the Australian government to this day, Australia in general, is like still dealing with in terms of like reparations for that and like rectifying that, although you can't ever really rectify something as horrific as that.
They released the first public apology for that the year that this came out. And so that's why they included it in the movie and like the text at the end or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I might not love this movie, but I do like really appreciate what it means. Baz is very clearly like really invested in where he's from and the history of where he's from and like the beauty of all of the different cultures. And like, he's someone who like really believes in like the power of like song and in dreams and beauty and things like that. And like melding that with his culture in this was very beautiful and respecting like the historical roots. So I think that's amazing. That's my positive.
I mean,
take.
I love the use of Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Like I love the use of Somewhere Over the Rainbow on something as simple as a human voice on the harmonica in the score. Mm-hmm. Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
When they played the movie and Nella was able to like go out and see it for himself, like see the manifestation of his dream, right? Like on that like outdoor screen. I don't know. What do they do in Australia outside?
I don't know.
They do everything outside in Australia during the dry, but not the wet. And so, you know, I love that that was like a theme or like a little motif throughout the whole movie of like, hey, like this is hope. or like this symbolizes hope in a way, and togetherness, and like love, and that transcends even like Nella's broken English, mm-hmm. Nicole Kidman's character not being able to understand like different cultures, not being able to understand like walkabout, like what does that mean? She doesn't get it. It's not part of a culture, but she understands when he's like, no, like this is my dream. I have to go.
Yeah.
So she understands dreaming. She understands like. And I think that's what transcends in this movie for me, mm-hmm. is like the respect of the dream.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, right? Understanding that like dreaming is universal, music is universal. Things in this movie that are universal transcend all of the conflict, all the violence, all the Fletchers in this movie.
Poor Fletcher.
Okay, all right. Let's stop and talk about Fletcher for a second.
I'm kidding, Aaron. Aaron's horrified that I said that because he's the worst character in the movie.
Fletcher is one of the worst villains I've ever seen in a movie. You know,
he's
like
pretty fucking awful.
Like ever.
All over cows. But I guess like that is something that the movie gets praised for, is its historical accuracy. And like the cattle thing was fucking huge.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is like meat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it was meat was used to for war efforts, mm-hmm. and also for eating nom nom.
Yeah.
Because, you know, some people eat cows. Sure, I don't.
You
but,
don't.
You
grow up.
It's true.
Yeah.
Also, cows are really nice. Why would you want to eat them?
I mean, so are chickens, but I eat them too.
Hey.
Sorry.
Chickens have brains like the size of a pea. They don't know what love is.
Okay, we can debate this later.
Okay. Yeah, I love that they took something as, like, what we might think is stupid as, like, a herd of cattle.
Yeah,
but like the obviously cattle trade. At that time for them, mm-hmm. that was everything. That was livelihood. That was that was food. That was money. That was, in a lot of ways, that was life.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of equate that in this movie to like movies that we have about like the gold rush.
Oh, yeah.
Or about like oil.
Yeah.
Because it's like people literally murdering each other over shit like this, and it's like it's fucking oil or it's fucking cows.
Yeah,
but it's huge because like that is someone's livelihood.
Well, because of capitalism.
Yes.
So Fletcher in a lot of ways is a bad man. Like
bad
one of the worst villains I have seen in a movie ever.
Yeah, he's really bad.
And because his only motivation is greed and evil.
Yeah.
And literally that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Nella is his son.
Yeah.
He fathered him.
Yes.
Through unspeakable means.
Yes.
And he rejects him because he is half Aboriginal child.
Yeah.
He is half Aboriginal. And so, in a lot of ways, I feel like Fletcher is just evil, and that's mm-hmm. really it. Like, the depth of his character is not super it for me, but I can appreciate him just being evil. Like, I can appreciate him just being, like, the Penguin to the Batman, and that's kind of that. There's no, like, backstory. And, you know.
I mean, especially because the movie is so large. It's like, I am already having to think about a lot of things going on in this movie. I don't want to have to think about, like, the depth of the villain.
It's true. Amen.
So that's, like, one favor that Baz does for you. When watching this.
When Baz is like, let me throw you a bone. Here you go.
One note evil. The
one
end.
Note. Just evil.
But it's funny because that actor plays Nicole Kidman's husband in Lion, and he's very nice in that.
And he's really nice.
Yeah, he's a sweet little man. Adopting kids.
Like we said in the Nicole Kidman episode, like best parents ever.
Best parents ever.
Yet here he is the worst. Trademarked.
And Nicole hates him.
And Nicole literally loathes this man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Respect where? Understanding who?
That doesn't happen in Australia.
Empathy? I don't know her.
Those things don't exist.
Incredible. Anyway, Australia is an enormous, epic romp. And I think visually it's stunning.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's... To your point, a lot of people praise it for it being historically accurate. I love the cattle scenes. My favorite scenes.
Yeah. I mean, you can just tell, like I said, it's not a movie for me, but you can tell how much he loves this movie.
Yes.
Like, it really, I think this really was like the movie of his soul.
Yeah, and to be quite frank, I don't think it's the most Baz Luhrmann of all of his Baz Luhrmann movies.
No, I think that would be like Moulin Rouge.
Yeah, I would say between like Moulin Rouge and like The Great Gatsby, those are like peak Baz.
Yeah. I mean, really all of them except this.
Honestly, yeah, all of them except this. Yeah. So I think Australia was his sort of take on what he would, his like Titanic essentially.
Yeah.
You know, his Titanic, and it may not have had a lot of glitter in it. I don't think it had any glitter in it, actually.
I mean, and yet everything is so shiny.
How
does he do that?
I really don't know, actually.
Everything and everyone is so shiny.
Yeah. So this may not be the most well-received of his films,
yeah,
nor the most popular, but it brought a lot of joy to my day.
But Monica loves it.
It was a romp, and I appreciated it.
Yeah, Monica really wanted to talk about this movie on several occasions, and I kept saying no, not unless we do a Baz Luhrmann episode. So she was like, okay, well,
I guess we'll do a Baz Luhrmann episode.
Yeah.
I think in a lot of ways, if you have not seen this movie as a child or like with your parents or as an adult, I would genuinely try watching it either for the first time or again, at least once more in your life.
Yeah, I'm not mad I watched it at all.
Yeah.
So there's that. If you value my opinion.
Oh my God. Australia.
Australia. Well, I guess that was Baz Luhrmann.
Yeah, that was Bazzy boy.
He's coming out supposedly next year, I think, his Elvis movie, which I'm very excited
about. I'm really excited about his Elvis movie. I'm really curious about it. Like, yeah. I don't really know too much about it. I don't think he's released very much about it.
I know Tom Hanks is in it.
Yes.
And Austin Butler is in it.
Yes.
And who... Austin Butler is fine as hell.
I know Austin Butler is fine as hell.
He was looking a little Elvis-y in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
He was looking a little Elvis-y.
Texas looks a little Elvis-y in that movie. So I'm, and I like him. I think he's a good actor. He's one of those, like, he kind of surprised me in the same way Robert Pattinson did, where he was like a pretty boy, like nothing actor. And then all of a sudden showed he had talent.
But all of a sudden he's really good. Yeah. All of a sudden he's in a Quentin Tarantino movie and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, you can hold your own.
All right, Austin.
All right, Austin.
But yeah, I'm a big Elvis slut, as you know. So yeah, like, yeah. I'm so excited for
Jessica
this movie.
Jessica is a big hoe for Elvis.
I love him.
She loves Elvis.
I know he's problematic, but I do love him.
I love Dolly Parton. I want a Dolly Parton movie.
She's the least problematic.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I love Dolly.
Someday there will be a Dolly biopic.
Oh, okay. News just in from the front. This is the movie Elvis is the move by Baz Luhrmann is the movie that Rita and Tom Hanks got COVID from. Were they filming?
Australia.
They were filming
in
Australia.
Filming an Elvis movie in Australia?
Obviously Baz Luhrmann.
Ugh, dumb.
Oh my God.
Where's the accuracy?
Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. Oi, oi, oi.
Truly oi.
Oi.
Okay, Monica. It's time for our collective dabble.
Oh yes. The moment you've all been waiting for. Can we get a drum roll, please? We were just watching I Feel Pretty. The Amy Schumer attempt of a film.
Yeah.
Oh God.
I know we're like years late on this.
We only got through 30
to 30 minutes.
I would say we've gotten a third of the way through.
Sure. Yeah.
So far it's not good.
Very bad.
It's very bad.
Very questionable. Just explicitly bad.
I can't really speak to the true nature of whether or not Amy Schumer is a plus size icon.
Definitely not an icon. I don't really know if I guess she would have to consider herself plus, but what I know is she can shop in any store, so that would lead me to believe she's not.
Amen. So this movie is problematic in so many ways.
Correct.
But the one breakout star in this movie, the one shining role, is Michelle fucking Williams as this like boss bitch lady.
Yes.
In like a
cosmetics company?
In like a platinum blonde wig that's like part of them. She looks like, she's supposed to look like, I think, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yeah, and she sounds like she's doing a Gwyneth impression to an extent.
But she is so funny.
Because she changes her entire voice.
She's like, so yeah, and this quarter sales have been up. Oh my God, she plays the CEO of this company or whatever.
I love when an actor just like balls to the wall with
commits
with a comedic bit of like a whole voice and everything. Yeah,
like it's. I told this to Jessica. It's like watching an SNL sketch with like Michelle Williams as the as the celebrity guest, and it's like a bad sketch, but she's like the funniest part of it, and like everyone else is bad. This is it. Busy Phillips is also in this.
Busy is also in it. Famous, and you're supposed to think she's like not pretty.
Yeah. Famous BFF to Michelle Williams.
Correct. Yeah.
So so two BFFs in it.
Yes.
Who else is in it?
Adi Bryant.
Fabulously in it.
Fabulously.
She's probably one of the best parts.
Yep. Naomi Campbell's in it.
Ooh, Emily Ratajkowski's in it.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I love how Emily Ratajkowski. How do you Ratajkowski.
Say her last name?
Ratajkowski.
Is that actually how you say it?
I don't know. Ratajkowski?
I'm gonna
Emily Ratatatat.
Ratajkowski.
Okay, Ratajkowski. Ratatatat. Ratatouille.
Ratatouille.
Okay, Emily Ratajkowski, as I have now learned, is her actual last name.
There's a lot of letters in her
name. I can't see the K. I can only see the J in her name.
Ratajkowski.
Sorry, it is pronounced Emily Ratajkowski.
Yeah.
Emily Ratajkowski's in this. She's surprisingly good.
She's better than Amy Schumer.
She's way better. So Amy Schumer cannot act.
I mean, didn't she write this too?
She wrote this
also. Could we argue that she doesn't write or she can't write?
She can't write a movie.
A movie, yeah, at least. She can write a comedy special.
She can write a comedy special. Mm-hmm. She's a funny woman.
She's very funny.
She's very funny. I just don't know that feature is her thing.
Yeah. Also, she's relied so much on this comedy surrounding like her body and like, aren't I so ugly? And it's like literally nobody is talking to you about this.
It's like, no, you're not ugly. I don't think she's ugly.
I don't think she's ugly either. Like, correct, she is not a size 2 and she doesn't look like Emily Ratajkowski, but like nobody thought she ever did.
Also, nobody looks like Emily Ratajkowski.
Exactly.
Nobody.
Like, it's one of those things where I'm like, I get that it's your joke and it's been your bit for a long time, but now you're making a full feature movie about acting like you don't have the privileges of being a thin famous person. Cool. That's nice.
That's true. Also, like, her hyperfixation throughout the whole film is just her looks.
Yeah.
Which, you know, makes me a little sad, actually.
Yes.
Because at the end of the day, her job is she's a computer programmer for a really like high traffic website. So you'd think like, oh my God, you're making all this money. And like, you know, at the very least, you're doing really good at your job. And yes, you work in a basement, but like you dress nice.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you're making a lot of money because she's trying to go out for this fucking receptionist job where she would be making less than half of what she makes now.
Uh-huh.
And she wants it so bad because it looks better.
Yeah. Yeah. Because she'll get to be around the pretty people. The whole fucking thing is that like she can't stop talking about how hideous and fat she is basically. And then she hits her head in a SoulCycle class and she thinks she's stunning and she just looks the same.
Which I was confused because I thought she actually turned, like I thought that everyone around her would also think she was stunning.
No.
But that's not the case apparently.
They just think she's the same. But they also treat her like she's way uglier than she actually is.
Yes, exactly. Which is just false. Are you hearing this correctly, audience? We don't think Amy Schumer's ugly. We think she's beautiful.
I just think she looks fucking normal.
And that's a problem for this film, apparently.
Oh, terrible, God. Terrible movie. But I do want to see how it ends.
Oh, me too. I'm popping it up right after this. I just want to know what happens.
Yeah, I just really want to. I just want to know what happens. How's her head? Does she have a concussion?
My whole thing is like, were those extensions that got ripped out of her head?
I would like to know what she thinks she looks like. Like, I wonder if you ever get to see that. I would guess no if you haven't seen it already.
I'm assuming no, but I
would like to know.
I don't know.
That would make it more clear that it's like a delusion.
Yeah, what I wanted was every time she passed a mirror, it would be what she thought she looked like.
Yes.
But like the rest of the movie, we just saw her when she was like out in the street, it was just her body, right. her as herself.
Correct.
Because at the very least we could relate to that, but then we just get like shots of Amy Schumer agape, mouth agape.
Yeah.
Like fluttering her eyes like, oh, oh. Like a dying
beautiful
fish. Yes. With the realization that you are beautiful indeed, Amy Schumer.
Okay. Incredible story. Anywho, well done, Amy.
Listen, a woman made a film, and for that, I am grateful.
That's the bar that we've set.
I mean,
a woman made a film.
I mean, unfortunately.
But the thing is like Hollywood let a woman make a film, and it was a film about how much she hates herself.
Oh, that hurts me. That hurts me bad in the tum.
Oh, we love to see it. I love being a lady. It's so fun.
Being a lady is so lovely.
I love being a woman in the world.
I love being a woman in Hollywood. It's breathtaking. It's captivating.
Delightful.
Delightful. Deliciously delightful, Myrtle.
I love when we get into our moaning Myrtle voices.
Me too. All right. No question today.
No question. Nobody's asking us.
There's
anything.
No question that Australia is a great land, and they produced a great guy.
They produced many great people. Nicole Kidman, Baz Luhrmann.
Keith Urban.
We have Aussie to thank for that. Also Hugh Jackman. I'm not a big Hugh fan, but other people are.
You know what? I like Hugh.
I think he's fine.
Sir with a fringe on time. I liked him in Oklahoma.
I think has talent, but I'm just kind of like, I'm not particularly attracted to him. I don't think he's like an Oscar winner. So I'm just kind of like, nah.
You should watch Bad Education on HBO. He's really good in that.
Okay, maybe.
All right, well... And on that disappointing note.
And on that note. Don't sue us, Daddy Favreau. Goodbye, Monica.
Goodbye, Jessica. Let's go watch I Feel Pretty.
I feel pretty.
Oh, so pretty. I feel pretty. I'm pretty. I'm right.